August 19, 1822, a tremendous detonation at Mélida, others continuing several days. October 23, 1822, two unknown dark bodies crossing the sun, observed by Past Orff, A and Psi disk, 1860-411. An unknown, shining thing it was seen, by Webb, May 22, 1823, near the planet Venus Nature, 14-195. More unknowns, in the year 1823 see Comte's Rendus, 49-811 and Webb Celestial Objects, p. 43. February, 1824 The Sounds of Mélida. Upon February 11, 1824, a slight shock was felt at Irkutsk, Siberia, Report B.A., 1854-124. Upon February 18, or, according to other accounts, upon May 14, a stone that weighed 5 pounds, fell from the sky at Irkutsk, Report B.A., 1860-70. Three severe shocks at Irkutsk, March 8, 1824, Report B.A., 1854-124. September, 1824 The Sounds of Mélida. At 5 o'clock, morning of October 20, 1824, a light was seen upon the dark part of the moon, by Gruithuisen. It disappeared. 6 minutes later it appeared again, disappeared again, and then flashed intermittently, until 5:30 a.m., when sunrise ended the observations, Psi America Sup, 7-2712. And, upon January 22, 1825, again shone out the star-like light of Aristarchus, reported by the Reverend J.B. Emmett, Annals of Philosophy, 28-338. The last sounds of Mélida of which I have record, were heard in March, 1825. If these detonations did come from the sky, there was something that, for at least 3 years, was situated over, or was in some other way specially related to, this one small part of this Earth's surface, subversively to all supposed principles of astronomy and geodesy. It is said that, to find out whether the sounds did come from the sky, or not, the praetor of Mélida went into underground caverns to listen. It is said that there the sounds could not be heard. 14. And our own underground investigations and whether there is something in the sky or not. We are in a hole in time. Cavern of conventional science walls that are dogmas, from which drips ancient wisdom in a patter of slimy opinions, but we have heard a storm of data outside. Of beings that march in the sky, and of a beacon on the moon another dark body crosses the sun. Somewhere near Mélida there is cannonading, and another stone falls from the sky, at Irkutsk, Siberia, an unknown grain falls from an unknown world, and there are flashes in the sky when the planet Mars is near. In a farrago of lights and sounds and forms, I feel the presence of possible classifications that may thread a pattern of attempt to find out something. My attention is attracted by a streak of events that is beaded with little star-like points of light. First we shall find out what we can, as to the moon. In one of the numbers of the observatory, an eminent authority, in some fields of research, is quoted as to the probable distance of the moon. According to his determinations, the moon is 37 miles away. He explains most reasonably, he is Mr. G.B. Shaw. But by conventional doctrine, the moon is 240,000 miles away. My own idea is that somewhere between determinations by a Shaw and determinations by a Newcomb, we could find many acceptances. I prefer questionable determinations, myself, or at any rate examinations that end up with questions or considerable latitude. It may be that as to the volcanoes of the moon we can find material for at least a seemingly intelligent question, if no statements are possible as to the size and the distance of the moon. The larger volcanoes of this Earth are about 3 miles in diameter, though the craters of Halicla, Hawaii, and Aso San, Japan, are 7 miles across. But the larger volcanoes of the relatively little moon are said to be 60 miles across, though several are said to be twice that size. and I start off with just about the impression of disproportionality that I should have, if someone should tell me of a pygmy with ears 5 feet long. Is there any somewhat good reason for thinking that the volcanic craters of the Little Moon are larger than, or particularly different in any other way from, the craters of this Earth? If not, we have a direct unit of measurement, according to which the Moon is not 2,160, but about 100 miles in diameter. How far away does one suppose to be an object with something like that diameter, and of the seeming size of the Moon? The astronomers explain. They argue that gravitation must be less powerful upon the Moon than upon this Earth, and that therefore larger volcanic formations could have been cast up on the Moon. We explain. We argue that volcanic force must be less powerful upon the Moon than upon this Earth, and that therefore larger volcanic formations could not have been cast up on the Moon. The disproportionality that has impressed me has offended more conventional aesthetics than mine. Professor C., for instance, has tried to explain that the lunar formations are not craters but are effects of bombardment by vast meteors, which spared this Earth, for some reason not made clear. Visit Moon meteor pops in up splash walls and a central cone. If Professor C will jump in swimming someday, and then go back some weeks later to see how big a splash he made, he will have other ideas upon such supposed persistences. The Moon would have been virtually liquid to fit his theory, because there are no partly embedded, vast, round meteors protruding anywhere. There have been lights like signals upon the Moon. There are two conventional explanations, reflected sunlight and volcanic action. Of course, ultra-conventionalists do not admit that in our own times there has been even volcanic action upon the Moon. Our instances will be of lights upon the dark part of the Moon, and there are good reasons for thinking that our data do not relate to volcanic action. In volcanic eruptions upon this Earth, the glow is so accompanied by great volumes of smoke that a clear, definite point of light would seem not to be the appearance from a distance. For Webb's account of a brilliant display of minute dots and streaks of light, in the Mare Crisium, July 4, 1832, see Astro. Reg. 20-165. I have records of half a dozen similar illuminations here, in about 120 years, all of them when the Mare Crisium was in darkness. There can be no commonplace explanation for such spectacles, or they would have occurred oftener. Nevertheless, the Mare Crisium is a wide, open region, and at times there may have been uncommon percolations of sunlight, and I shall list no more of these interesting events that seem to me to have been like carnivals upon the Moon. December 22, 1835. The star-like light in Aristarchus reported by Francis Bailey. C. Proctor's Myths and Marvels, p. 329. February 13, 1836. In the western crater of Messi, according to Gruithuisen, Psi Americus sup, 7-2629, two straight lines of light, between them a dark band that was covered with luminous points. Upon the nights of March 18 and 19, 1847, large luminous spots were seen upon the dark part of the Moon, and a general glow upon the upper limb, by the Reverend T. Rankin and Professor Chevalier, Report B.A., 1847-18. The whole shaded part of the disk seemed to be a mixture of lights and shades. Upon the night of the 19th, there was a similar appearance upon this Earth, an aurora, according to the London newspapers. It looks as if both the Moon and this Earth were affected by the same illumination, said to have been auroral. I offer this occurrence as indication that the Moon is nearby, if Moon and Earth could be so affected in common. But by signaling, I mean something like the appearance that was seen, by Hodgson, upon the dark part of the Moon, night of December 11, 1847, a bright light that flashed intermittently. Upon the next night it was seen again, monthly notices RAS, 8-55. The oppositions of Mars occur once in about 2 years and 2 months. In conventional terms, the eccentricity of the orbit of Mars is greater than the eccentricity of the orbit of this Earth, and the part of its orbit that is traversed by this Earth in August is nearest the orbit of Mars. When this Earth is between Mars and the Sun, Mars is said to be in opposition, and this is the position of nearest approach. When opposition occurs in August, that is the most favorable opposition. After that, every 2 years and about 2 months, the oppositions are less favorable, until the least favorable of all, in February, after which favorableness increases up to the climacteric opposition in August again. This is a cycle of changing proximities within a period of about 15 years. In October, 1862, Lockyer saw a spot like a long train of clouds on Mars, and several days later Secchi saw a spot on Mars. And if that were signaling, it is very meager material upon which to suppose anything. And May 8 to 22, 1873, white spots on Mars. But, upon June 17, 1873, 2 months after nearest approach, but still in the period of opposition of Mars, there was either an extraordinary occurrence, or the extraordinariness is in our interpretation. See Report BA, 1874-272. A luminous object came to this Earth, and was seen and heard upon the night of June 17, 1873, to explode in the sky of Hungary, Austria, and Bohemia. In the words of various witnesses, termed according to their knowledge, the object was seen seemingly coming from Mars, or from the Red Star in the south, where Mars was at the time. Our data were collected by Dr. Gall. The towns of Rybnik and Rathibor, Upper Silesia, are 15 miles apart. Without parallax, this luminous thing was seen from these points to emerge and separate itself from the disk of the planet Mars. It so happens that we have a definite observation from one of these towns. At Rybnik, Dr. Sage was looking at Mars, at the time. He saw the luminous object apparently issue from the planet. There is another circumstance, and for its reception our credulity, or our enlightenment, has been prepared. If this thing did come from Mars, it came from the planet to the point where it exploded in about 5 seconds. From the point of explosion, the sound traveled in several minutes. We have a description from Dr. Sage that indicates that a bolt of some kind, perhaps electric, did shoot from Mars, and that the planet quaked with the shock. Dr. Sage was looking attentively at the planet Mars, when he thus saw the meteor apparently issue from it, and the planet appear as if it was breaking up and dividing into two parts.